A few days ago, I was sitting talking to my loyal little friend here in the city, a medical doctor, Sam Adair. And he said, how you doing, Bill? And I said, oh, pretty fair, I suppose, Doc. I said, yourself? And he said, oh, a lot of patients that have had 15 examinations this afternoon. I said, well, that's good, as long as it's this examination and finding nothing wrong. I said, you know, we got talking about back when we were boys. And I said, well, Doc, I don't know just how long I'm going to be around. We're both in our 50s. And he said, that's true, Bill. And I said, but all these years, about 31 years of ministry now, I have kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes, so it doesn't matter when he comes.
Amen.
So he said, that is true. I said, the greatest thrill I have is living for others. And he said, that's what life is, makes life real. It's when you, not what you can do or accomplish for yourself, but what you can do for others.
Amen.
That's when you're really living. And if there happens to be someone among us who has never did that, tried to live for somebody else, give that a try. And you'll see how much more life holds for you when you will not live for what you can get yourself out of life, but what you can give someone else in life.
Amen.
And you'll find that it's more blessed than riches or anything that can be thought of, is what you can do for someone else to make life's burdens, which life in itself is a burden, and it will make it a little lighter for someone else. You just don't know the joy unless you've tried it once, to do something for someone else. Then that brings me to thinking of 31 years will be soon of ministry for the Lord. And I guess every man thinks of some time when he has to come to his last service and come to his last hour and look back down the path and see what has been accomplished. See what's went on. Have you did anything? And if I just said it's what you do for others that counts, I often wonder what would be when I got to the end of my road, which we don't know what time that will be, none of us. So I'm thinking about looking back down along the trail where I've come through life and seeing the different hills and briar patches and rocks and hard places and smooth runnings and what I did in those kind of times. It'll all show up one of these days at the hour of my going away. And it'll do that on each one of us. We will all be sure of that, that it'll show up to each one when that time comes. And that brings me or leads me to say something that I would rather run than say. It leads me to say something that it grinds my heart to the bottom to say it. But what I say, I am forced to say. Realizing that this is being taped and the world will hear. But I have left the ministry for a cause that I'm sorry that I have to leave for. And perhaps many of you have heard it, I'm closing my office and so forth and leaving the field. I don't know where our Lord will lead me to, and that I have no control of, or whatever He will have for me to do, but I'm thinking at the end of the road where I must come. Down along life's journeys, I have made so many mistakes that I am very sorry from my heart of. because of, I guess, being human and in weakness and so forth causes a person to do things or say things that, and even act that they would not want to act otherwise. But being the weakness of a human being, while we have those times. But there, if there's anything that has been in my heart to do, was to hear those words of our Lord Jesus at the end of this journey, to say, "It was well done, my good and faithful servant." And many times I have said I'd like to have been standing there when he said, "Come unto me." But I did desire to hear it say, "Well done." That I did not hear the voice in the original say, "Come unto me," back in the times of the writing of the Bible. But I do desire to hear it say, "Well done." Yeah. And if anything I always wanted to be, and desires of my heart to be, was a true servant to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I want my testimony to be clean, clear cut, that I stood in all my mistakes, I yet loved him with all my heart. And I do that this morning with all my heart. And because of that, it forces me to say, I'm leaving the ministry. Is because that there is something arose up amongst the people that's caused me to do it. That is, that I have been taken from my bracket of a minister or a brother and been called Jesus Christ. And so, called, and that would brand me as an Antichrist. And I'll meet God as a quitter before I would meet him as an Antichrist, to take away from him. I heard of it a few years ago, and I thought it was a joke. And I met a couple of brethren, which I don't see neither one of them in the meeting this morning, two or three of them, one time in a fishing trip, and they approached me by the subject of saying, "Brother Branham, aren't you the anointed Messiah, the Christ?" And I put my arms around the neck of both brethren, or all of them, and I said, "Brethren, as much as I have tried to be a true servant of Christ, I would not that you would say such a thing as that. And if it would ever be said of me, then I will leave the field with a clear conscience, and you who do that will be responsible for every soul that I would have saved during that time." See? For taking me from the field. And I thought that ended it, and I heard it a few more times, but it wasn't so. And the other day in Canada, a brother showed me a little ticket of a thing he's packed in his pocket, said, "William Branham is our Lord." Baptizing in the name of William Branham, and a precious, if it had been an enemy, if it had been my enemy, I would have known it was a joke. But a precious, darling brother come up to confess his sins and his wrongs and his faith in me as being Jesus Christ. And I have got letters at home and calls from Chicago and different places asking me if I believe that dogma. Now I got all kinds of letters that's come in the last few days and calls from different places. So, saying that I was Christ. Brethren, that is a horrible, disgraceful, ungodly lie of the devil. I am your brother. Now, that would run any person from the field. That would make anyone that loves Christ run from the very thing. I went to the Lord here not long ago when I first heard it about a year ago. And then I went to the Lord, and he referred to me to the scripture that when John came forth of preaching, that they hadn't had a prophet on the earth for so many years until it would, they was all amazed in their hearts thinking maybe John was the Messiah. So then they went and asked him, and he said that he was not. You read that Luke the third chapter, 15th verse. And so then, but that kind of quietened down, so I let it go like that. But then when it comes to this, then I know that something must be done. Now I say this, that the visions and the angel of the Lord that appeared at the river, if this is to be my last message or last thing to the church, to the world, those things are truth as far as the angel of the Lord. And I stood still. If people call me a prophet many times, because a prophet in the English Testament is just a preacher, a prophesier, foreteller of the word, and so forth. I'd stand for that, because you could just kind of push that down. But when it comes to me calling anointed Christ or something, that was too much for me. So I just couldn't stand that. And so then about, I come, after leaving the meeting at Canada, I found out that way up in the Eskimos, or the Indians up there, it got among them. And so it just tore me all up, and the hunting trip that I had planned so long, I could not take it. I was afraid of a hunting accident, if you understand what I mean. I got so shaky, worse than I am standing here now. And I just couldn't stand it any longer to think that 31 years of ministry went down the devil's gutter pipe into the... When I'm gone, what will they say? There he is. That's exactly what it was. And all the influence that I had upon the people, then you see where it'd be? I'd be an antichrist. And I just couldn't stand it. I thought I'd rather die here in the woods like I fell on my gun or something. And I seen I was... Then I thought about my little Joseph and so forth that had to be raised, and I was no condition to hunt, so I just left the woods and come home, and I've been for about 8 or 10 days in such a fix I thought I was losing my mind. And I just asked everybody to stay away from me and let me alone, because I'm in such a fix and nervous and upset and all tore to pieces. And I wondered if it would have been some enemy of mine, it would have been all right, but I would just laugh at it and went on. But when it comes to be precious brothers, precious sisters, then that's what hurt me. And I said, Lord, the thing's too great for me. I'll just have to walk out and leave it in your hands. I don't know nothing else to do. A few nights ago, to make it sure, I had a visitation from the Lord. And I seen a precious one, a baby, a serpent, which was yellow and black, and telling me, and right along, and the thing struck me on the leg. But the blood was so rich it didn't take effect on me. And I looked down, and there's where I'd been bit before. And I turned quickly with a gun and shot the thing, and it hit it right in the middle of the thing. And a brother said, I turned with my gun to shoot its head off. And he said, don't do that, just pick up the stick laying there by you. And when I turned my back to pick up the stick, it wiggled into some water, just a small puddle of water. And I said, well, it can't hurt very much longer now, because I believe the brethren, that what happened. I said, it's mortally wounded, so it'll die. And I asked many of my members of my church here in this tabernacle with Brother Neville, and I has come approaching me with that same question. Brothers, sisters, haven't I tried to be a true servant of Christ before you? Yes. Haven't I tried to be your brother? Yes. Wherever it is, it's a spirit on precious people. Many people has asked me that, but it's a spirit. But I hope that the day that it receives a deadly wound and will die out quickly, so I can return back to the ministry. Until then, I'll ask you, each one, pray for me. I don't know what I'll do. My place up for sale. I just can't stand it. I stay around, I'll go completely stark mad. And I ask you, pray for me. And remember, if you've ever believed me, if you've ever believed me to be a servant of Christ, remember, that is an error. It's falsely, thus saith the Lord. It is wrong. Have nothing to do with it. I am your brother. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, My flesh is trembling, my hands are squeezing together, my toes are drawn up in my shoes. Oh God, be merciful. What have I ever done, Lord, to deserve this? I pray that you'll be so merciful to me, Lord, and to all. And up there, and them precious, darling people, may they see their error on what they have did, Lord, to break the heart of their brother, and to not only the brother, but our Savior, our Heavenly Father. I pray that you'll forgive us of our errors, Lord. Let the holy blood of Christ now draw our beings together, Lord, and blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love and fellowship. God, may the enemy that approached our brothers and our sisters, may it receive the deadly wound that cannot exist any longer. May it just die away, Lord. When you do that, Father, I'll return back to the field again. But until then, Lord, I am your heartbroken servant, waiting. It's beyond anything I could do. With tears and with crying and with persuading, I tried, Lord, hard, you know my heart, to stop it before it got that far. But it went beyond anything I could do. So, Father, I commit it into your hands. From this pulpit to where I've preached for all these years, I commit it into your hands. Now you see to it, Father, in your own divine way. And when it's all finished and everything is over, then thy servant shall return. Until then, I'll be waiting to hear from you, Lord. Bless us now and give us a great service today as we're here, not altogether for this, but just to make it clear publicly before the world that they might know, Father, that I love you and believe you and have stood for you and want to, if I have to go, let me go, Lord, with a clean heart and a real record. I believed you and trusted you, granted. And I'll praise thee and we'll give thee glory through all ages.
Yes,
that is to come through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Over in the scriptures, let us turn in the Bible to the, I thought this morning it would be a good thing, if Brother Neville don't mind, just to continue on for a few minutes in. Now, don't let me hear it one more time mentioned among any of you. Just pray and keep it out. Shut it off, see? I'm 52 years old, but I think maybe if God spares me, I got a little life left, and I want to spend every ounce of my time for Christ.
Amen.
So, remember, I'm leaving because I'm driven to do it. Now, in the book of the Revelations, in the fourth chapter where we left off the other day when we were in the study, Revelations, the fourth chapter, I believe at the last part of the verse.